This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Long-term considerations are going to change CEO behavior. And when CEO behavior changes, it really doesn't matter what the President of the United States thinks, acts, or does, because business trumps Trump. And I see that happening.
This week on Sea Change Radio, we get an update on the sustainable and responsible investment community from Mark Tule, the director of the Strategic Investor Initiative. We discuss the mission of his organization, the progress that's been made in the SRI space, and how investors, markets, and companies are likely to respond to the incoming presidential administration. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Mark Tule. He's the director of the Strategic Investor Initiative. Mark, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Good afternoon.
We've had you on the show several times, and every time SRI, or it used to be called socially responsible investing, now it's sustainable and responsible investment. It's also called ESG, environmental, social, and corporate governance causes. Why don't you give us a little recap, because we haven't covered it on Sea Change Radio in over a year. Why don't you explain some of the evolution of this sector of the investment world?
Yeah, the alphabet soup of acronyms. Happy to cover that. It started with the socially responsible investing, SRI. And then I think what happened was the mainstream investors realized that the opposite of socially responsible is irresponsible. And so to make this mainstream, we had to make this values neutral and not call 90% of the world's investments under management irresponsible. So kind of a terminology challenge emerged, and the new acronym launched by the UN Principles for Responsible Investments labeled this as responsible investing. So every responsible investing should integrate financially material, environmental, social, and corporate governance factors. I think what I've learned over the last 25 years is one of the biggest barriers to innovation and progress in driving a more sustainable world for people, profits, and planets is terminology. So it's important to get it right. And now I think we've landed on a term that is values neutral, and it's boring, environmental, social, and governance, or ESG. That is the world of investing. Investors like that terminology. So I think it's wise for the movement to embrace that.
And now SRI accounts for, according to some studies, one in every five pooled investing dollars, over $7 trillion in 2016. Is that because people are becoming more conscious in their investment decisions, or are the goalposts being moved and the lines are being blurred into what's socially responsible or ethically sustainable investment?
I think it's more the former than the latter. And it's a transformation in how the providers of financial capital look and integrate financially relevant environmental and social issues. And what's happened now and why there's this transformation is, if you look at climate change, for example, see the costs that insurance companies are bearing for addressing storms. You see the what's happened in the coal industry, where the price of stocks have hit an all-time low. And what they're calling now the stranded assets of coal, these coal production facilities, the mainstream investors realize that this is not a nice to have, but it's a must have. It's a must have to protect the downside risk of investments. But more importantly, I think the new millennials are walking the talk. So they're buying devices, their purchasing decisions are now informed by social and environmental considerations. And it's kind of gone from all talk to lots more action. And I think the reason that this has exploded the number of the amount of assets under management that integrate these factors is not because of the values, but because of the value. That these are kind of bellwethers for excellence in corporate management. And better managed companies make for better investments. So it kind of goes full circle. And the new normal is that investments that do not consider these factors, among others, are just not prudent. And they're not well researched, and they're not as well managed as those that kind of factor these into their considerations and through their models and investment plans. And so it's been a steady rise, and the issues and how the screens are applied, the social, environmental, sustainability screens are applied, has stayed the same. So it really is, as I've been in this movement for 25 years now, it really is a tipping point now. And I think it can only go upwards because of the economics behind it.
Speaking of corporate management, why don't we turn to your latest endeavor, the Strategic Investor Initiative. What's the organization's mission, and why don't you give us some examples of it in action?
Well, I think if you look at the political climate now, you could it could be very sobering and disappointing on a number of levels, and it should be because the most recent nominee for Trump for EPA, Mr. Pruitt, has sued the EPA 14 times. So he's spent more time suing the agency than he has thinking about how to run the agency. So there are kind of scary moments ahead and choppy waters ahead. But I did some research, and I looked at, as I was part of the Global Reporting Initiative in its early days, and the Global Reporting Initiative was started under George Bush the First. CDP was started under George Bush the Second.
Why don't you explain what CDP is?
Formerly known as the Carbon Disclosure Project. So the Global Reporting Initiative is the standard, the global gold standard for how companies convey their sustainability environmental information to the public. CDP is how investors look at climate change information to make investment decisions. And Nixon founded the EPA in December 1970. So the point here is that there's been tremendous innovation in the private sector during these times when government has been unable to deliver. In fact, if you look back over the last 50 years, and you looked at the amount of times when the stars have aligned and all the government levers of powers have lined up to support environmental and social and sustainability issues, it might be less than 5% of the time over the last 50 years. So what we have now is an opportunity for business to lead rather than be led to drive progress towards sustainability and on climate change and on other important factors. And what I've noticed over this period is that the one kind of missing link that is not dependent on government is getting the CEOs engaged. CEOs now, for the most part, are confused, confounded, stymied, and they didn't go to school learning sustainability. They went to school, business school, when that wasn't an option. So we are kind of stuck, and we're stuck. It gets back to that terminology problem we have. And so CECP launched what's called the Strategic Investor Initiative. And CECP was founded in 1989 by Paul Newman and George Whitehead from Goldman Sachs, with a very simple premise: companies should give away more profits, more of their profits and their revenues, to support society and environmental issues. So out of that came what I've launched just a year ago today, which is called the Strategic Investor Initiative, SII, which brings together $15 trillion in assets under management, investor assets under management, and over 200 CEOs who are committed to sustainability and to recognize that corporations can be a force for good. So that is scheduled to launch in officially publicly launch in March of this year. And we have 10 CEOs who have agreed to join these 15 trillion investors and share their long-term plans for how they're going to create value for their shareholders and also protect people, planet, and profits. So it's the first time this has ever happened. So the private sector is so much bigger than GDPs of countries at this time that if I had to pick, I would bet on the astute companies and the forward-looking leaders to be able to deliver, because they also realize that the trust in business is at an all-time low, and they see this as an opportunity to restore trust in corporate America and capitalism as a force for good for global prosperity. And I know that seems like it's hard to think about these opportunities and this progress in those lights, but
especially when you think of CEO pay over the last 3-4 decades and the gross inequality that's been created in the capitalist system, whether or not we want to rest the blame on the feet of the CEO class or not is neither here nor there. It's just the reality exists, right?
And you wonder why is that happening? And that is the key reason why we launched the Strategic Investor Initiative, because it is about too much pressure on the short term and executive comp being set on the short term. But what if executive comp was set over a 3-5 year period based on a long-term plan that included sustainability?
Not just on a stock price, right?
Not just on a stock price, but other factors such as how is a company's performance in the communities it operates? How is a company's reputation managed? And what products and services are they providing to meet this kind of new millennia that is going to demand more sustainable products and services in companies? Because at the end of the day, most of a company's valuation is built on the people that are employed and the communities in the operate. So this has just been outside of the calculus for the financial markets. And now, through this initiative and others, you know, long-term considerations are going to change CEO behavior. And when CEO behavior changes, it really doesn't matter what the president of the United States thinks, acts, or does, because business trumps Trump. And I see that happening. I think this is actually going to be more progress over the last 3 years than we saw over the last previous 3 years because of all these kind of private sector initiatives. So right now, you have CEOs who are scratching their heads saying, do I fill out the GRI? Do I engage with SASB, Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, and are struggling with how they can, what standards or what guidelines to use in telling their story about sustainability. And I think what is really happening now is we've got this great flawed system now for companies to report every quarter on the short term. So companies, their CEO gets on the phone, they talk to these investors, and they say, how much money have I made in the last 3 months? What we don't have is long-term focused companies sharing their long-term plans for sustainability and creating value. So the CEOs of Dow, IBM, BD, PG&E, Medtronic, Allstate, Nielsen, Vanguard, and Citi for this first round are going to make publicly available these long-term plans, and it's never happened before. And they'll talk about their sustainability commitments, and they'll integrate it with their financial story. And so this is going to drive disclosure, and I think within 3-5 years, we're going to have thousands of companies delivering their long-term plans, and this is going to influence the movement of trillions of dollars in investment money to these companies that are more long-term focused. Because you can't act on climate change in the short term. To be able to put it into your decision making, you have to look at it through a long-term prism.
time. Share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today. But if you ask for a rise, it's no surprise that they're giving none away.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Mark Tule. He is the director of the Strategic Investor Initiative. So, Mark, you touched earlier upon the election of Donald Trump and what that would mean for the sustainable and responsible investment community. We've heard about the market booming since November 8th. We see that the Dow is up. But if we peel back the drapes a little bit more and see where the booming has occurred, it's a little less encouraging, isn't it?
Yes. There's a quote I like to use, which is a Ben Franklin quote that says, "The greatest part of the miseries of mankind are brought about by the false estimates we have made on the value of things." So it's a very uplifting quote, isn't it? But it holds truth. That quote was in 1780, and I think what we have right now is this kind of irrational exuberance towards the hope by business that regulations will be wiped away, and particularly in the banking sector, that Dodd-Frank can be watered down. And what we have now is the potential for companies that don't take these long-term focus views to take on outsized risks. It'll be more important to look at micro factors rather than macro factors, I believe. What is a company doing? How is the company reacting over the long term? What changes are they making to their environmental health and safety efforts? How are their lobbying efforts changed? What is being said publicly about these commitments? Are these commitments still these companies are making sticky, or do they fall away in this kind of model that feels like a return to Reagan, with deregulation and Trump saying, for every one new regulation coming up, we're going to remove two, and Trump's focus on curbing regulations, you can see in his cabinet picks, including Scott Pruitt of EPA, who is kind of, I think, is could be one of the most challenging picks of all his cabinet. And then you go down the list, they all carry the thread of wanting to strip away regulations that have been put into place. But I think these regulations should be viewed by sage investors as kind of airbags. So they protect the company. They're not costs, unmerited costs, most of them. They're airbags. They protect companies from taking on too much risk. They protect companies for looking at things that can cause them reputational damage. You don't have to look further than BP to see what happened there, or some of these drug companies that are overpricing. So it's both a time to be vigilant at the grassroots level and hopeful and engaged in the private sector. Because as I said earlier, in times like this, we also see the most private sector innovation happening. And that's what we need now. We really need investors and companies to come together and lead because government isn't going to do it.
That seems to be quite apparent. Let's dig into the market itself and some of the movement that's occurred since November. We have some pretty big solar companies and wind companies like Solar Edge and SunPower and Vestas Wind Systems, the world's biggest manufacturer of wind turbines. They've been down, I think, in the range of 6-14% since the U.S. election. On the flip side, you have coal mining companies that we thought were pretty much left for dead, like Peabody Energy, the world's largest coal producer, has risen 6%. So when we see these indications of where the market's moving, what does that mean for somebody in the sustainable investing space like yourself?
When you look at the short term, it's the stock markets, and I've been involved with investors for 2 decades. It's like an elevator. It goes up and down over the short term. And what really matters, I think, is the, you know, what are the long-term underlying fundamentals for this? And I call it the new math. So regardless of what happens to these coal companies in the short term, I think those are kind of false signals. I wouldn't treat them as trends, and I don't own any coal companies. I think this is a predictable surprise that these would have a short-term rise, but the fundamentals are still there, and what I call the new math. The new math says, if you look what happens in Beijing, for example, what the damage is to pollution. It's unsafe, smog. It's almost an unlivable city, and that is the cost of coal and the new math. And so we won't tolerate that in most other regions of the world. So there's no real, no such thing as clean coal, in my view. And I think astute investors realize that the most you can do is kind of mitigate some of the climate change impacts from, you know, having new technology in place, but you can't eliminate it. And you don't see much happening in terms of major investments in coal. You just see a blip in suppressed stock prices. And you see what happened with a company, I forget the name of it, that took a Toshiba, I believe it was, that took an investment in nuclear power in the U.S., and their stock has tumbled because of that. So you have to look at the long term. And coal is a bad bet. Natural gas is a better bet. Fracking, I think they're hitting risk to that. And I think I see that lack of regulation happening in that area is increasing those risks with the earthquake risk that happens with that. So that leaves solar as being kind of the only long play. And the cost of solar is going down. You see Dubai made a huge play to increase their solar power in the region, the Middle East. Prices are going down. Consolidation is going down. And I think just the pure economics of it is going to propel wind and solar to be the long winners. Investors need to think about this in terms of a long-term play, not a short-term play.
I'm interested in following up on what you mentioned about fracking, and not necessarily fracking in particular, but the idea that we now have enough instruments and organizations and an aware public in place to consider maybe the chickens coming home to roost in terms of this free market religiosity that the right wing has held over America since Nixon. But are you saying that with the lack of regulation that maybe the free market will decide what happens? And yes, in the short term, you may see Peabody Energy booming, but just wait until that first mining disaster happens, or just wait until the earthquakes start hitting more and more frequently for the fracking. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying more that there's more of a socially responsible investor class that will correct these flawed businesses more than they would have in 1982, let's say?
I think it's the former, that the costs to a company's reputation and their stock price and what will happen if there's a major issue with fracking in a community such as New York, which is not friendly towards fracking. It also bears note that this is these are often regional, county, state decisions, not federal government decisions. And you just think from your days in high school class, if you pump chemicals into the ground, smash up rocks that are deep in the bedrock, pump the water out, you're going to leave kind of in some instability and some risk there. Now, there's been progress in making the chemicals kind of less harmful. Some of these companies employ that, some of them won't. If they're smart, they'll continue to do that, not because they're regulated to do so, but because it's good business practice. It only takes one big mistake, you know, one pollution of an aquifer to change mindset for fracking. And I think it's not the solution. There are hidden risks there, and I think those will be unmasked by these companies that don't do the right thing.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Mark Thule. He's the director of the Strategic Investor Initiative. So, Mark, let's look outside of the United States borders. Emerging markets are an important part of the rise in sustainable and responsible investing, and yet they've been pummeled since the Trump election. Is this an ominous turn for emerging markets, or do you think that there'll be kind of a whiplash effect eventually as the rest of the world realizes that the U.S. may not be the leader anymore in many ways? I mean, the dollar's booming, but the rest of the world is kind of laughing at the inauguration of this guy, Donald Trump, who seems completely ill-equipped to lead the country.
There's going to be a reset that needs to happen, and it's still unclear to me whether the beneficiaries for this will be the European Union or emerging markets or both. But I don't think pounding on a company to bring back jobs to the U.S. that aren't sustainable, aren't economically feasible, have some anecdotal wins there is going to change the overall trend, which is the cost of production is less in emerging markets. And
it's not rational. It's not a way of actually engaging companies and trying to inveigle them to the U.S. and start creating jobs in a productive way with products that actually the public wants.
Yeah. Well, it's like my 11-year-old. I tried to take away his Xbox, and you would think I took away his oxygen or his food supply for a month. So he threatened to run away. And I said, okay, with a lot of exclamation points. And then he kind of ran away down the block, realized that it was pretty cold out, and decided that he might be able to live without Xbox for, an hour and survive. So I think the public and foreign country leaders and others will realize that, these tweets are like the 11-year-old kind of pouting about his Xbox being taken away. But who knows? If this becomes background noise, which I think it will, right now it's kind of setting the news and people are following this. I think after you hear, you see 1,000 tweets from Donald Trump, hopefully that just becomes something that is ignored. And I think that'll increasingly happen.
Well, the world is watching us very suspiciously, as they should be. And it's good to know that there are people in the investment community being vigilant about what really matters. So I appreciate your good work. He's the director of the Strategic Investor Initiative, Mark Thule. Mark, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Samford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Roger Waters. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.